All right, good evening, everyone. Thank you for being here, and welcome to the Fire and Emergency Services Committee meeting. It is Tuesday, February 6th, 2024. We are starting a few minutes late at 5:35 p.m. General Manager, would you call the roll, please?
Wrong one. Director Aston?
Yeah, I am here.
Director Wilson?
Here.
Alternate, Director Bazett is absent. I'm here. Chief Dusty Martin, present, and Chief Kaylin Richards, also present.
All right. So a reminder is a public testimony will be received on each agenda item as it is called. Principal party on each side of an issue is allocated 10 minutes to speak. Individual comments are limited to 3 minutes, except with the consent of the committee. Individuals shall be allowed to speak on an item only once. Members of the audience are asked to volunteer their name before addressing the committee, and the committee reserves the right to waive said rules by a majority vote. So we move now to the adoption of the agenda. Director Wilson, any comments or questions?
Nothing.
Do we have a motion?
I move we approve the agenda.
I will second that. All in favor? Aye.
Second. Yeah,
I. That's all right.
Quorum is two.
Yep.
Move now to number one, which is the approval of the conformed agenda from our meeting on January 9th, 2024. Any questions, comments?
Nothing on that either.
And do we have a motion?
I move we approve the conformed agenda.
I will second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Conformed agenda is approved as written. Vote 2-0. Move now to open forum, where members of the public may speak on any item not on the agenda that falls within the responsibilities of the committee. We do have staff who are also members of the public. Let's see if there's any open forum items.
We need to hold the election, since it was deferred last month.
Yes,
and it's not on here.
Yeah, I know. I just saw that.
All right. So,
I do have one agenda item that is not on the agenda that we would like to place on the agenda, which would be the fire prevention report.
And you can do that without objection.
All right, so, Director Wilson, if you're okay with this, I would like to revisit the adoption of the agenda.
Okay.
And thank you, General Manager, for that. What I would like to do is add agenda item for the election of chair and vice chair to the committee, as well as fire prevention report under staff reports. Are there any objections to that?
Absolutely none.
Okay, so as we revisit the agenda, now the adoption agenda, it will be voted on with the addition of voting for chair for the committee and fire prevention report. Do we have a motion for
Therefore, I move that we adopt the agenda as amended.
All right, I will second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, we'll move now to department matters, which the item we have added, which will be the election of chair and vice chair to the committee. I would like to nominate Director Wilson as chair of the Fire and Emergency Services Committee. Do you accept such nomination?
Sure.
I was confident. All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. There we go. So with that, I now hand
the fake gavel.
We need the gavel. Need to keep these guys in line.
Okay.
So I will hand the running of the...
You now need to elect the vice chairman.
Oh, you are absolutely correct. I nominate Director Aston for vice chair.
And I humbly accept.
All in favor.
Aye.
Aye.
All right.
You guys got to switch chairs now.
I'll just move the nameplate.
Not happening. Not happening. Okay. So, moving on to staff reports. So, the department report for January.
All right.
Chief Richards.
Going through our stats from January 1st to January 30th when the report was pulled, no vegetation fires, 2 structure fires, 10 miscellaneous or automotive fires,
8 traffic collisions, 153 medicals, 3 hazardous conditions, and 19 public assists or other type calls. I'm happy to report that we were able to work with our partners at the Communications Center and get a report written for Cameron Park that excludes any of the move-ups previously, so I'm able to pull that data and not have those big discrepancies with, you know, why we decreased 50% year over year. So these numbers are going to reflect the true numbers, excluding those calls that are not being ran anymore, which were those move-up and covers for the ambulance.
Okay.
So looking at December of 23, so last month, 241, and then January, 195, so a decrease of 19%. The yearly, so, and then this yearly is from, so the January 2023 will be January 30th, 22 to January 30th, 23, and then the same for 24 will be 30th, 23 to 30th, 24. So that's the last year of the last 2 years. So that comparison, 10% decrease. And then year-to-date is going to be the same as the calendar year-to-date. So last year for January, 239, and this year, 195, so an 18% decrease. I think what's noteworthy for that decrease is the January 1st New Year's emergency that produced a large call volume in about 2 or 3 days, mostly the flooding incidents, water rescues. So that's why you see that large decrease there. Moving on to vehicle maintenance updated, up to $50,466, added about $4,000 between two of the engine companies from last year or from last month. Rental income remains the same. And then as we move down, we had 2 incidents within the district. First one was a structure fire in 89's area on Kimberly, a small exterior fire that was quickly extinguished, resulting in minimum damage and no injuries. The second incident was a structure fire on Alhambra, which derived from cooking that caught some of the appliances on fire and was out by the homeowner with a garden hose on their arrival, so the crews were able to salvage some of the area in the kitchen and then check for extension and do smoke removal. No injuries or no extension for that. Another noteworthy thing that has gone on in the last month, so the Office of Emergency Services, OES, has or the local op area, El Dorado County, put in a request during 3 of the past storms to upstaff engine companies and chief officers as kind of surge staffing to bolster our crews that are available in the county due to storm-related calls, water rescues, flooding, and electrical hazards. So for all 3 of those 2-day stints, we staffed a Type 3 engine, Engine 388, for a total of 6 days. And then myself, as an extra battalion chief, 2 days out of the 6, offering support in the eastern portions of El Dorado County and the northern portions of El Dorado County. With that will come reimbursement similar to rental engine, but it's through the Office of Emergency Services instead of CAL FIRE, so the engine rate is the same, but the personnel are reimbursed through OES, and that's the same process that we did last year. If you see under the rental income, the $65,115, that will be increased after we get payment for these last 6 days that we staffed in Type 3.
So do you have any...
I have a question.
Okay, questions.
on the medical calls,
mm-hmm.
How many did 88 do last year? Do you know offhand?
I don't have that offhand. I can get that for you, though. I'll get it to you before the end of the meeting, but we'll have to look it up.
Yeah, as we're going into this discussion and everything, I'm curious about that. But fire as opposed to medical is what, 10%, 5%?
Yeah, it's in the single digits for sure. Depending on what you're looking for, we could run a report, whether it's how many engine 88 ran or in the area that, by what call type. So that information I can pull off a report for you, depending on what time frame.
I'm just trying to get a solid idea. I mean, I was pretty sure where it should be, but...
Yeah, happy to meet with you on it. We can pull all those statistics, no problem.
Thank you.
Director Aston.
So just to clarify on the report, make sure I'm understanding that right. So the incident count comps, we've pulled out the move-ups, but it still includes ambulance response?
No.
Local ambulance response in this?
No, there's no ambulance response, but by default, a medical aid would trigger an ambulance response. This is solely the amount of calls that derived in Cameron Park.
Okay.
And so if our engines were both committed on a call and engine 28 or 86 came in on mutual aid, that would also be reflected. This is just how many incidents geographically occurred within the district.
Okay. All right, just making sure I understood the comps pulling out just the move-ups. Cool. That's great. And it doesn't sound like there has been anything close to last year in terms of what's happened in the storms. I know we had a lot of wind and some trees down. PG&E's probably doing more than we've had to in that sense.
So after this report was written, we went into this latest storm on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Surprisingly, I was pretty surprised at the low frequency, the low amount of electrical hazard and trees down calls we ran. We had three total. We had lines down in the roadway with some trees blocking the road. We had one of our CAL FIRE captains from our Ponderosa Fire Center, who's a sea faller, which is like the highest level of tree cutting certification you can get. So mm-hmm. they made pretty quick work of that. We were able to clear the road fast. We were anticipating a lot more incidents.
Okay.
So countywide, in the 48 hours of the storm, the amount of calls that were closed as an actual electrical hazard was 41.
Okay.
So there's 41 confirmed power lines down electrical hazard call types, which is, I mean, over 2 days is it may not seem like a big number of 41, but that's actually a huge number comparatively to just normal day-to-day is maybe one or two.
Okay. Thank you for that. That's all the questions I've got right now.
I was reading this third incident with the house fire, and where it said that you had ventilated it, and I had this picture in my head of you chopping a hole in the roof, but you probably just went open doors and windows or something in that case.
Yes, more of a horizontal ventilation tactic of using our positive pressure fans and systematically opening doors and windows so we don't charge the uninvolved house that doesn't have smoke in it, not entering them, placing smoke into those spaces.
All right, thank you. Opening it up for public comment. And closing public comment.
The only thing that I want to add is
sure.
on the vehicle maintenance piece,
uh-huh.
I mean, we're tracking that quite a bit in here, making sure the numbers are there. So we've had a fair amount of deferred maintenance on the equipment for some time, and
mm-hmm.
Which we obviously is coming around at this point in time to really bite us, with, as you can tell by our cost. And you'll see that cost go up again next month. Part of that is we've had to send our equipment out to some of the area shops, which we're paying a higher rate. And we've kicked the can down the road for long enough that we have some increased costs. And some things just come up and bite us. We had to replace a screen that is the master screen in engine 288 that went dead. That controls all the code 3 lights, controls the ladder rack to lower the rack ladder down so we can actually use it. That was $4,000 in itself. That just happened last week as our mechanics were over at station 88 looking at some codes that were getting thrown. They did a safety compliance inspection for us while they were there, found the brake caliper that was broken, put that engine out of service. So we're likely to see that number that's on this report next month go up $10,000 to $15,000. But it's nothing that we haven't talked about in the prior months. We've deferred and deferred and deferred maintenance for so long that now it's catching up to us. So we are over budget, our line item budget. We're working with finance to do some internal budget adjustments to correct that, but just so you're aware, that's really where we're at with the vehicle maintenance. After this latest round, we should be all caught up with our maintenance. On the flip side, the engine 389 is on the auction. It's got, I think, a day left on it, and it's not too, it's like 28,000 and some change. We're sitting on the auction, so at least we got that going for us to help cover some of the maintenance costs on the other equipment.
So there'll be a couple people sitting there at the keyboard as it counts down that last minute. Okay. Just
yeah,
pop that up another 10 grand there.
Yeah. But it just really hit us with a bunch of different maintenance, and then the lack thereof for some time. Folks were trying to stay within the budget instead of taking small bites out of that. It finally hit. When we did our inspections this year, as we talked about, there was quite a bit of deferred maintenance on the equipment over the years, and we got to get it fixed.
All right, thank you. Okay, so moving on to the fire prevention report.
All right, so monthly totals for inspection hours in January 26, 18 violations, 6 corrected violations. We also had an ongoing fire code enforcement case that we've been working on for 3 months that's been resolved. It was an assembly that had some fire code violations that was a challenge to work through, but we worked through it and got compliance, and it's been resolved, so that's good. Only kind of noteworthy thing that happened in January, so we recently met the El Dorado County Tax Collector's Office. They have a new manager. The Tax Collector's Office oversees all of the business licenses that are given out in El Dorado County. There's a county ordinance that when a business license and a commercial occupancy is either transferred or a new license is issued, that a fire inspection is required. Mm-hmm. It gives us kind of the lion's share of our inspection requests outside of state regulated and outside of any new construction or tenant improvements. So we met with them, just went over workflow introductions, relationship building, shared contact information, kind of said, you know, hey, what are some of the issues that you guys are seeing? What are the issues that we're seeing? Talked about some of the problem businesses that give us fire code issues, and coincidentally those same issues that they're kind of getting on their end, so kind of work through how we communicate with that and to whom. That led to bringing them to the El Dorado County Fire Prevention Officers Association meeting, which the El Dorado County Fire Prevention Officers Association is all of the fire prevention officers, fire marshals, inspectors throughout El Dorado County all meet monthly, go over code cycle stuff, kind of what's going on, talk about events and issues, and kind of work through a lot of problems. So we had the tax collector come to that meeting, and they're now joined as like an allied agency. So they're not a voting member, but they're an allied agency that can come and reports out and can kind of give out information and good discussion points for things that are going on that are problematic to work through. So that was pretty successful.
Okay, thank you. Any questions?
None on that, with the exception. Just if we have any updates on how things are going with our third-party vendor at this point.
So CSG, we had a little bit of struggles with some of the workflow, plan intake, and kind of how they kind of communicate with the applicants. We streamlined that to make sure that we're taking all of the new submittals, we're processing everything, and then utilizing them for very specific tasks. Here is a project, can you review that? When you're done reviewing it, give it back to us, and then we will move forward with all the approvals and correspondence and scheduling with the applicant. So that's cleaned up. They have been kind of, we've pivoted them into doing more of our state-regulated occupancy inspections, kind of at their, that they're working on doing and scheduling. So they have a list of all of our requirements, and they're working through those systematically. So we just got, I've requested them to give me an accounting every month. I have not gotten that yet. I put another request to get exactly which ones have they've inspected and which ones are still outstanding for reinspection. So,
and when you say accounting, simply meaning inspections done versus accounting as in billing.
Yes, that's a completely separate thing, and that's going to be coming to us. We're starting to now receive some of those bills. We're still in the process of working with the CSD on coming up with a process to go with a third party that specializes in those unsolicited, or those solicited by us inspections, the ones that no one's requesting. We're actually going and doing the inspections and then billing afterwards, which are some of the challenges in collecting from those, because they're not a service that someone wanted rendered. It's a service that they're pretty much forced to do, mm-hmm. Or to receive. And so those are going to start trickling in the next month, so we'll come up with some workflows and tackle that.
Okay. And we don't have any sense of lag time in that in terms of
test done. We're receiving inspection reports from late December, early January. Okay. We're just receiving those, so it's about a month behind.
Okay. And everything else, I mean, the relationship in general, the working relationship has continued to improve, continued to get smoother.
Yes, and we're still using InterWest Consulting, which we have a long-standing relationship with. Mm-hmm. They didn't have the bandwidth to take on the large amount of occupancy inspections. However, we do use them for our business inspections. We're getting their availabilities ahead of time. So, that, hey, we're available on these dates to do business inspections, and then when those come in, either I, the engine companies, or InterWest will do those business inspections.
And where are we at with getting the hardware and software for reporting to streamline that?
We're working with the CSD on getting the contracts buttoned up. Those contracts need to be executed from the CSD. We can't execute them.
Right, understand. Okay. But that is still moving, and we're...
Yes, we have the iPads, we have all the the hardware for it, and infrastructure. We just need to get the executed contract.
Okay. Great. That was all my questions for the moment.
Okay. Anything? Okay. I have no questions. Now opening it up for public comment, was there anything on the fire prevention report? No? Then closing public comment. Moving on to items for future committee agendas. Did we have anything?
No report on meat abatement next month. This is when the pre-emergence and the stuff goes down. Who does the fire break up on BLM?
So that is BLM property. So in the past, we have worked with BLM once through a CCI grant to do a bunch of the work on there. And then you know, we usually use our crews to maintain that and based off of availability and work with BLM, but it is BLM property for us to do that. Weed abatement season's coming. Are on a normal process. Waiting to hear back on the ability to hire our seasonal inspectors. And so really, if we miss that timeline to hire them, then that's going to push back our ability to get the inspections done and follow the normal process.
And so then that becomes a question that I would like to add that to the agenda next time so we understand where we're at with that staffing or that process, because it is March, April where that really kicks in.
Correct. April 1st is the first inspection.
That first inspections, yeah, and with some adjustment depending on weather and rain and growth and all that.
Thank you.
I would like to add next time, just to keep it in front of us, particularly in light of the repairs we've been doing, is the revisit the maintenance and upkeep list that was brought to us last time, so that we can look at that in light of what we just had to do. We're coming to budget in April and May, so as a committee, I think it'd be good for us to look at that, identify with staff what are the things we want to make sure get into budget next year for this department.
Absolutely.
So I'd love to see that again next time. There is one thing, Chief Martin, I want to visit from a previous email, and this was we had gotten word that the Assistance to Firefighters grant and the SAFER grant we did not receive. We had talked about going back on that when the window is open. Do we know when the next window is, or have we missed that?
I think the Assistance to Firefighters grant just reopened again. And so I have to look at it, and quite frankly, some of it's just going to be bandwidth of Callan and I to go through that, and unless the district's interested in hiring a grant writer. The amount of time with having Clint Siebert here last time as a third body to really put, he probably had 40, 50 plus hours into that, being down that battalion chief, no office staff. You're looking at the two here.
Right.
And our days are pretty thin of being able to do that in lieu of working with, you know, a grant writing service or something like that to get that down. I don't know if we're going to be able to meet the time frames that are in the current grant period.
What's the time frame?
I'll pull it up. I'll get it to you. Okay. I think it just opened up. The one thing about the Assistance Firefighter Grant is what I got at a meeting last week is that if it's not PPE related, it's not really highly looked at on there. So the SAFER grant is for staffing, and then Assistance Firefighter Grant would be PPE related items.
Okay.
But I think it's got a pretty short window.
And do we know the window for the SAFER grant?
I have not looked yet.
Okay.
But I will.
I hadn't prepped you for that, so I haven't understood. There we go.
Make sure you get your ball.
There you go. So I'd like to put that on the agenda for next time to at least have some information update for windows of time. And if we need to consider hiring a temporary grant writer for that, at least to look at it and let the board decide if we want to try and go after that. I felt we had a compelling argument last time. I feel we still have a compelling argument this time, and particularly with the scope of what the SAFER grant could do for us.
What exactly?
So the SAFER grant is the Staffing for Adequate Fire and Emergency Response grant. I don't have the data in front of me, but we were looking at...
three. We were looking at three bodies is what we put in for.
And I'm trying to remember the dollar scope of that. So three, that would have been about $750 then?
Yeah, so they, in the way that it works is they'll give you a percentage of those personnel for 1 year, and then they drop the percentage and drop the percentage.
With the idea that you're working towards staffing that yourself.
That you're working towards filling those and being able to provide service past the grant.
Right. And our original idea was because it's a three-year grant that would bridge us from where we're at now to annexation or some other solution, because that's the window we want to get it done in. So I think...
How many did you apply for last time?
How many did we apply?
How many people?
People? Three.
I took a grant writing class in June, and... you know, I've written some before, but the one thing that they said, I just tend to dislike the professionals because they charge a percentage. And just like bond lawyers used to charge 35%, they weren't worth it. Well, the bar stopped that, and they have to charge cost by an hourly rate. But in the bond class, they said that the agencies want to see at least a professional writer go over it, even if it's drafted separately. And I don't know, do you have last year's grant, the proposal?
We do.
Okay. Can you get me a copy? Because I'm going to take it to my neighbor who's high up in OES and said she'd help me with grants. So maybe see what she says.
Well, and I would wonder if much of it would just be copy-paste, with the simple exception, did we get any feedback on why it was declined? I didn't hear that we did. But I don't know if
go back and look.
Anything came to you, because I would love to make...
some emails on it. But I think it's their generic response.
Okay. So that might be where the follow-up phone call on our part to say, we're replying again. Was there anything last time that didn't...
Yeah, and I figure if she's willing to help, you know, she knows the language they look for.
Right. So if we could add that to the agenda for next time, as well as if staff could put those pieces together to get us a copy of the grant, and even, as you said, show that to your friend. I'd like to know the window of time.
Okay.
So make sure we're addressing that as we can. And that's it for my future committee agenda at this point.
Okay. Are we going to be possibly ready next month for the ad hoc committee to present, or not yet?
That is all dependent on AP Triton and the collection of their data. As my understanding, they would have a tentative report for review that is a draft that doesn't become public until there's some feedback and some response on that, just to make sure the data is correct and follow-ups, and then once that's done, then it becomes public. So the ad hoc committee itself continues to meet with parties and agencies have Taxpayers Association meeting at the beginning of March. We're setting up one with our supervisors as well as the fire council of the county, and a few other interested agencies, concerned citizens of Cameron Park, we're working on that.
Okay.
But as far as an actual report, we are all waiting.
I mean, we're doing the public meeting tomorrow night, and hopefully we get a good turnout. We'll see. I have, you know, the one comment I get from everybody that knows anything at all about it is, don't close 88. And the problem is you can't get a contract commitment not to close it, I think, you know. Because when we talked to county about it, he says, well, it depends on the budget. We talked to El Dorado about it. They'll have the money, probably, but it depends on their politics. I don't know. But that's the reason I asked the question earlier. I did. Because I think the true value of 88 isn't fire, it's medical.
Mm-hmm.
And the number of people it saves that coming from 89 wouldn't make it. I think there's a real difference there, personally.
So all I have to say, we're waiting on AP Triton.
We're waiting on AP Triton, and I had something to add, and it went... So, okay. Do we do public comment for these last couple items?
Well, and I would ask, is there anything else that staff would like to have on agenda next time?
I think we're good.
Okay. And do we have any items to take to the Board of Directors?
Not that I'm aware.
I don't think so.
Okay. Matters to and from. Anything out there?
How's the HVAC working?
Oh, there you
no
go.
Complaints.
Say, hopefully everybody's warm and toasty in there.
Yeah.
No issues. All good.
Yeah, everything's good.
Good. And no damage at either station with the storms.
No.
Okay.
I know what I wanted to ask was tomorrow night's meeting. Is that strictly Zoom?
Teams.
Is it strictly, or Teams rather?
It's Teams only.
Okay, it's not, there's no in-person component, okay. Any matters to and from, General Manager?
No, we're just continuing to meet with Triton, continuing to get public comments, and people just, as a meeting, we ask about it and talk about it. I said, you know, wasn't here during, but be happy to convey your thoughts. That was the number one I get.
Yeah.
Whoever's managing.
Okay. Director Aston.
I've said my list.
Okay. Well, I had something last week that isn't directly CSD related, but it is somewhat public safety related. I had a tour up at Marshall Hospital, which wasn't just a tour, as it turns out, it's related to the state of California's earthquake retrofitting requirements. There is a kind of a one-size-fit-all law that affects all hospitals, big or large, in earthquake zones or not, and by 2030 they have to retrofit their facilities up to a certain standard. And of course, the problem is that Marshall and a lot of the smaller hospitals in, you know, rural and semi-rural areas and so on don't necessarily have the 80 or however many million dollars to do that. They're facing some serious challenges. And if the legislation doesn't change and they are not able to meet the standards by 2030, they will literally get their licenses pulled. You know, Marshall has contingency plans and so on. They have one building that's already up to standards that they can move a lot of things into. They can maybe move some things into the medical complex in Cameron Park or whatnot. But sort of bottom line is that the one-size-fits-all thing may hurt a lot of small hospitals in our state. And the reason they're raising awareness is that there's some legislation that they're hoping is going to get proposed this year, which will either pony up some money to help them do it or possibly change the standards to, you know, different things by earthquake zone or something, and if you're in a lower zone, you maybe don't have to do what they have to do in San Francisco or whatever. And apparently our state senator and our assemblyman, so Senator Alvarado Gill and Assembly Member Patterson, are kind of all over this, but it's an issue, so. Okay.
Actually, I did have a couple things.
Yes.
There's one thing I keep forgetting to ask about in that vein. Is there any impact on fire and emergency services with the new electric vehicle mandates coming down from the state? I haven't heard anything. I know it's affecting waste management and...
Which mandate?
Well, that government vehicles and those fleet vehicles have to be converted to electric vehicles by, can't remember the date, El Dorado disposal, and waste management is already having to begin talking about that and lobbying against it simply because of the cost and how that works. But it's also fleet vehicles for government agencies, etc. I didn't know if there was anything that impacts fire and emergency services that you're aware of at this point.
I am not. There's been some talks through our department of, you know, with going away from gas-powered small equipment, and so I know the department's looking at it pretty good and talking with the governor's office quite a bit, because battery-powered chainsaws and such are not going to work for us out in the middle of the woods. But I haven't seen any we have not gotten anything on our department side of what if we absolutely have to comply with some of that. I know there's a bunch of work going on in the background.
Okay. So that would be a big lift to talk about it with engines. but trucks, I didn't know if that would be a place where that might have some impact.
Chief Johnson, is there any talk on the Cal Chief side of that?
Now, right now there's certain exemptions that are out there. There's only two manufacturers that even manufacture an electric engine or a hybrid engine out there, so it has not really picked up and taken on. There's three or four agencies in the state of California that have them right now, and they're very much a testing mode. So they're a long ways away from it.
Okay.
I would wonder the point you made about the smaller equipment battery. I mean, you know, those trucks are out there a long time in the big fires. Uh-huh. And you'd have to have a generator to charge it.
That's the little secret that they have, is there's actually a diesel motor to charge the batteries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
not
that
we'll talk about that. But.
There's a certain point of diminishing sanity. And I was in solar, so.
No, and it's becoming tough. On a generator, a typical 2,000 watt, you can't find in California right now. They've already
has to be a stage four.
Move those out, and so we'll see what happens.
You can't even sell those. I had one of the districts I had a stage one generator, which was used to start Phantom engines during the Vietnam War. It was in Lake County. And how dirty was it? Lake County had the best air in the United States. You could see the plume from that generator for 8 miles.
Yeah.
8 miles. So in my last place when I was buying, because I fit generators throughout the district for safety and fire and everything else, and you had to be stage four filter. The damn filter costs as much as a generator.
Yep.
Okay. Well, if there is nothing else, is there a motion to adjourn?
I do have one last thing.
Okay.
I want to thank our neighbors in Eldorado Hills. We got the email on some of the good governance workshops that are happening there in Eldorado Hills that are available. And first, thank you for the invitation. That's great. I know there's some folks that would do well to do that. So that cues me up for the general manager, too, if we can piggyback that and advertise it just so folks know, as well as that cues us up to look for possibilities, additional possibilities in our district.
I didn't see that.
Okay, I can forward that to you in case it got lost.
Yeah, I think I got it, but it was during business hours, maybe.
I don't know. But, it's 1 to 4 p.m. on those days. But that's also the cue for me, for us, is that we will want to, if we can't participate in that, potentially provide those same things this year.
CSDA has programs that we can have out as a seminar and a workshop, public could even attend.
Correct.
Or they do have training modules, but I would counsel against a training module and doing it in person, because the value add of doing it in person is significant. And I've had to do this with various boards that didn't know a thing about it.
Yes.
And sometimes more than once. And so in person, it's a good program. They have a 2-hour, 4-hour, and all day. And depending on the level of need, they're very good at it. So,
and we have done that in this district in the past. It's been a while. We still live with the COVID disruption, and so some of that didn't happen. But particularly in an election year like this year, if for any members of the public who might be interested, it would be good to make that available for Brown Act and ethics as well, so that if anybody wants to run for the seats, then they have some of that training in their pocket already.
Yeah.
So I'm just queuing that up.
Because the Brown Act is real easy to get sideways with when you're new. Mm-hmm. You don't follow the rules.
Yeah.
And, all I can tell you is 3 violations are a felony.
Mm-hmm. Well, and even on another piece, it becomes a place where we can educate both board members and public on Rosenberg's rules, which is what we adopted a number of years ago out of Robert's rules, simply because it's a little easier to understand and follow. Imagine 10 pages of Rosenberg's rules versus 500 pages of Robert's rules. Yeah, much easier. But anyway, that's just queuing that up. That might be something that we can pull together this year. That was all I had.
All right. Thank you. Now, then, do we have a motion to adjourn?
I would motion that we adjourn.
I second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The meeting is adjourned at 6:17 p.m. Thank you.